My fellow Earthlings, welcome to Raven's Rabbit Hole. I am your intrepid host, Raven McMinn, and this is my Cosmic Rabbit Hole, the place where we keep an open mind, question everything, speak our truth loud and proud, think outside of the box, walk on the wild side, down the roads less traveled, and always, always maintain a healthy sense of humor. If you're interested in extraterrestrials or parallel worlds, other dimensions, star seeds, crystals, lost history, metaphysics, quantum science, paranormal phenomena, or if you are a tinfoil hat designer, then you are in the right place, my friend. But all are welcome here. With one foot firmly grounded in Mother Earth and science and logic, and the other foot out exploring the wooest of the woo-woo, each week, it is my intention to bring you topics and guests that will expand your awareness and raise your consciousness about this crazy world that we do live in. It is my sincerest hope that you will find this next hour either educational, inspiring, interesting, empowering, or at the very, very least, entertaining. Whatever the case may be, I thank you for being here. I'd like to invite you to be part of our private Facebook chat room. So to do so, go to 12radio.com. On the left-hand side, you'll see a little menu there. Third one down says chat. Give that a click. You'll be taken to another screen where you can click on ask to join the group. So click on that. And my wonderful producer, Jay the Wizard, is waiting in the wings, and he will approve your request and let you write in. So just look for my banner that says Raven's Rabbit Hole, and you are free to comment and post under there. And I want to thank Jay for all he does for getting us on the air and sounding good each week. Couldn't do this without you. Thank you so much, Jay. All right, so now I'm over here in the Facebook chat room. I fixed my own computer. I know that's really scary sounding, isn't it? But I did what Geek Squad said was a no can do. I fixed it myself. I know me, the technologically challenged. It was a great victory. It is a great victory, and I'm just gloating about it. I can't help myself. Anyway, so I am there, and guess what? I can see some people are in there. So let me say hello to Renee. Hi, Renee. Welcome to the show. Thank you for my little dancing GIF of Wednesday. I love that. And there's Rachel, her sister. Hello. So glad to see you here tonight, too. And you'll hear too some more comments. I'm going to click on that, and hopefully this won't take forever. Nope. There's Terry Campbell. Hi, Terry. Welcome to the show. Terry is an astrologer, a very, very good astrologer. And you can find her over at 12listen.com if you'd like to have a chart done. Give her a call over there. And let's see what else we got. There's Cindy. Hi, Cindy. Welcome to the show. How are you? Good to see you here this evening. Thank you for the gifts. Those are really cool. Very cool. Rabbit hole. I love that one that you found with the rabbit hole. I got to copy that. What is that from? I don't know. I don't. Is that a tarot from a tarot deck? That's really groovy. That's pretty cool. And there's Shadow from Shadow and Sun. Howdy to you too. Good to see you here tonight. And scrolling here. Oh, I love the Matrix. Oh, yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, as a matter of fact. So I'll come back here and check in with y'all in a little bit as people are coming in. All right. So happy birthday to all the Geminis out there. And a special birthday shout out to Terry Campbell, whose birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday. I hope it was a good one. Hope it was a good one. We're on the eve of a full moon, where I can tell around from here. It's been crazy today. I had a guest scheduled for tonight, Alien Girl 111, Nikki Starchild. And we want to do it on video for you. And my tech just freaked out today. I mean, everything freaked out today. Imagine that tech freaking out, right? But I'll tell you, this is really an odd thing. I got a tablet, okay? In lieu of getting another laptop, I got this tablet, and I've had no problems with it, and I was testing everything, and everything was great as of last night. Okay, but today, for some reason, it decides that it will only recognize an email address that I had 13 years ago. And of course, I can't even remember when I changed a password from last week, much less from 2013. That's not 13 years, but it's 11 years ago. I'm not good at math. Anyway, I digress. So I don't know the password. And then when I'm trying to, authenticate my identity another way, it tells me my birthday is not my birthday. And it has me locked out. I can't do anything on my tablet at all. Of course, I was going to need that tablet to use for video tonight, for tonight's interview with Nikki Starchild. And it's just not having it. So we're like, okay, so we rescheduled. And so Nikki will be here on June 12th. So we will be on video for you. So, yep, that's been my full moon so far. If you can see the full moon, if you have some clear skies, it is gorgeous. This is the flower moon happening, I think at 9:30, is it? 9:30 tomorrow morning is when it's officially full. Let me get my little book here and see what it says. Full moon at 9:53 a.m. Eastern time. Yeah. And we have Venus going into Gemini tomorrow also. So big astrological day happening. Okay. Anyway, okay, so I told you about that. So tonight's going to be just kind of like last week, kind of a hodgepodge because all this kind of transpired at the very end of the day. And so I have some interesting stories for you. So we're going to talk about the Vatican. We're going to talk about shadow government and UFO disclosure. We're going to talk about climate change. We're going to talk about this poor farmer in Canada who finds a mysterious space rock. This poor guy. And it's been deemed deadly. Even so, where is he at in Canada? I have to move my thing here. All right, okay. Barry Sawchuk was driving around with his son when they came across a webbed hunk of metal. Wait till you see this thing. I'm going to post a picture of this in the chat room. It kind of looks like a cross, something you would see like when they're working construction, like a metal grate over a hole or something like that. You know, like we've been in like the big cities, how there'll be like a vent on the sidewalk and they have like a grate over the top of it and it's air coming out. It's like looks like that. And this thing was 6.5 feet wide and 88 pounds. And it's a bizarre looking charred thing. So this is some space junk and so they called and some people came out from the government and they said they knew that it was space junk right away and everybody had a chuckle over it. But an expert later warned the bizarre object could have proved fatal when it fell from the sky. Barry said that multiple layers of charred composite fibers and webbing led him to believe it was space debris. They thought it was originally just some garbage, but upon closer inspection, they noticed it was too detailed to be just regular garbage. But yeah. Some astronomy experts started to dig to find the source of this junk, which had seemingly appeared out of nowhere. And they concluded that the charred hunk of metal belonged to a rocket from Elon Musk's SpaceX. So I wonder if Elon got a phone call that day. like he would really care. But anyway, yeah. So this guy's got himself a nice little chunk of SpaceX. All of these satellites and things that they've got up there, it's a wonder that they don't find more of this stuff, actually. You know, it's dangerous. Thank God the thing didn't hit his house and put a big hole in his roof and go through several floors, and hit somebody in the kitchen down below. You never know. I found something that's really weird, and I think it is maybe a meteorite. I'm not sure. Magnets do stick to it. But it's charred. You can see where it entered. It was definitely somewhere up in space because half of it is black on the one side where it gets charred from the heat and the friction as it's entering the atmosphere. And the rest of it's kind of like a blobby red color. And I've been thinking about taking it over to Washington University over in the city in St. Louis. They have a astronomy apartment that purchases meteorites. And I don't know. Who knows? I could be sitting on a lot of money. Probably not, but I think it's worth checking out. There are, they say, an estimated 30,000 objects bigger than a softball that are hurtling to Earth at any point in time in a year. So, yeah, it's, you never know. You can get a metal detector. You can usually find little small meteorites by your rain spouts. I learned this on, there used to be a show on History Channel called Meteorite Men. And that was one of the little tricks that they showed on that TV program, where they would go to where all of the rain spouts on the house would dump, you know, file down into one place. And then as it came out, they would find all kinds of stuff, because that stuff would get on the roof and then a good hard rain would wash it all down into the gutter system. So they found, you know, you might be able to find you something there worth some money. You never know. So check your check where your drain spouts drain out. Who knows? So that was that poor canola farmer. I wonder if somebody offered him any money. It doesn't really say here what he's planning to do with this or what. Anyway, moving on. So did anyone catch the Vatican's press release from last Friday? This is interesting. This has kind of got me kind of scratching my head here. I'm like, okay, what's really going on? Because what the Vatican has done is, it was all in Italian, so we had to wait for the translation to come out. It happened really early in the morning. I think it was like, when I tuned in, it was like 6:30 in the morning, and they, so I was watching some of it live. Couldn't understand a darn thing, but watched it anyway. And waited for somebody to be commenting on it. And it's all about paranormal phenomena and apparitions and so forth. And let me get the story pulled up here. I got the story from the debrief here, Micah Hanks. I like his work. He's pretty good journalist. And so the title is, the Vatican's updated its guidelines for evaluating apparitions and supernatural phenomena, and what this really means. I'm still trying to figure out what this really means. I'm wondering why they came out with this at this point in time. And I think we'll probably figure that out on down the road. But what their motivation for this is, I'm not sure. I did some digging around, and I guess there is an increase, a huge increase in reported paranormal phenomena. Now, of that, you have to factor in there is a hoax factor there. You know, now with all of this technology that we have, it's pretty easy. You know, there's a lot more than it used to be. There was just Photoshop to worry about. Well, now you've got all kinds of filters and backgrounds and ways that you can upload things and manipulate them and turn them around and paste them onto backgrounds that they were never even at. And, you know, I don't need to go on about that. You understand that. So, the increase in hoaxes also has increased, so that number, it's really hard to tell an exact percentile of increase of reported paranormal phenomena. And with the saturation on TV of paranormal ghost hunting shows, you know, there's, you know, we as humans are highly suggestible, you know, so we have to consider that factor also. And the brain is wired to find patterns and find, you know, like faces in leaves and snowdrifts and things like that, you know. Sometimes there's really something there, and sometimes it's not really there at all. It just kind of sort of looks that way. You know what I'm saying? So we have to consider all these factors when we are dealing with paranormal phenomena. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, because it absolutely does. I know, I've experienced it myself. Firsthand. So I know it's real, but when you look at all the, like my YouTube channel every morning, okay, when I go there and the subscriptions and stuff, you know, because I subscribe to a lot of these channels that discuss this stuff and show videos and so forth. And my whole page is full of things, right? And I'm thinking, how much of this can really be going on in the world? But then when you look at the state of the world, you're like, well, yeah, actually that is entirely possible, because the whole world has gone mad, right? It's crazy. Anyway, so back to the Vatican. See how I get off on a tangent? And here I'm off on YouTube and I'm trying to talk about the Vatican. So here we go. All right. So the Vatican has updated its process for evaluating visions of the Virgin Mary and other alleged supernatural phenomena in an effort to prevent abusers and modernize its approach to the proliferation of digital technologies. So the announcement made during a press conference in Rome last week represents the first update to the Vatican's procedures since 1978 and highlights growing concerns about the exploitation of people's beliefs using technology. However, the new guidelines presented on Friday emphasize caution against making definitive declarations that discount such phenomena unless clear indications of fabrication can be discerned. That's a mouthful, huh? Okay, the revised norms presented on Friday focus on the moral issues involved in exploitation of people's faith through the presentation of alleged supernatural experiences, which can be punishable under canonical law. Traditionally, the Catholic Church has investigated claims involving various forms of supernatural phenomena, some of which have historically impacted the faith. Amongst the famous examples include the series of purported Marian apparitions witnessed by three shepherd children in Fatima, Portugal in 1917. Those are the ones that had the sealed prophecies. There were three of them. And the Pope had revealed two of them, but has not yet revealed what was in the third prophecy. And that one girl, and I cannot remember her name now off the top of my head, she went on to become a nun. Not sure if she was forced into becoming a nun in order to monitor her to keep her silence. I don't know. There is that rumor. Whether she wanted to be a nun or not, she ended up in a convent and became a nun. And it had to do with World War One. Some of the prophecies, but the third one's never been revealed. I guess it's supposed to be so rumored to be so ghastly and so horrible that they don't want to bring shock and upset to the public, so they're keeping it quiet. But anyway, these children saw the Blessed Virgin Mary over several days, and it went all the way to the Pope. And he went and visited them to see if these children were making it up or if it was real. And they deemed it to be a real apparition. There's a whole, maybe I'll get into that sometime down the road. Now's not the time. It is a very interesting, intriguing story. That was Our Lady of Fatima. There's another one of, again, children were visited by the Virgin Mary in Medjugorje. Medjugorje, I think I'm saying that right. The Pope also advocates Marian devotion through more conventional means rather than communication through messages or other observations of alleged supernatural phenomena. There's a Mary has appeared all over the place. There's several places in Mexico I know that claim to have had apparitions of her and had miracles happen at that particular church. She's quite active around the planet, quite active. Now, I've never seen her in a piece of toast or anything like that. I'm talking about a real apparition. And usually they don't really see so much of the face and facial features, but what they will see is more of like a glowing person that's exuding its own light and has a really like thick aura around it so that the features are kind of blurred. But they have these overwhelming waves of love that are coming off the entity. And usually it's accompanied by the smell of roses. Sometimes she's been seen hovering over the tops of some of the churches. And then miracles happen, you know, like a church is getting ready to close down because it's, you know, can't pay the bank or whatever. And suddenly then a donor appears out of nowhere the next day after one of these apparitions has been seen and a private donation's been made to save the church or, you know, a cause maybe that they are for. It's all positive stuff, though, all positive good stuff. And there's what was it I was just going to say? There's the Lourdes, France. Saint Bernadette would see the Virgin Mary when she would go to pray. And that spring that is there in those rocks is healing. And that's a pilgrimage point, Lourdes, France, for people to be healed miraculously. They have a huge pile of crutches where people came on crutches and they left without their crutches and tossed them into the heap. There's all kinds of I love that stuff. I grew up Catholic, and my grandmother would always, she would every Christmas like send a mail order in to Lourdes and get holy water from there and give it to all the girls in the family and stuff. I still have some. Yeah, it's really neat. So, I mean, miracles happen. They really do. And oftentimes they're not so focused upon, or we focus more on the scary, horrible things, don't we? We love the drama, I guess. I don't know. But okay, I digress here. Got to get back to the Vatican. See, I don't have a very structured show. I go all over the place, don't I? Okay, well, now this is okay, continuing on with this article. This is I don't know, I'm trying to read between the lines here and find out what's really going on here, why the Vatican has all of a sudden come out with this. Okay, so the text presented at the Vatican on Friday states that, I quote, "As a rule, neither the diocesan bishop nor the episcopal conferences nor the dicastery will declare that these phenomena are of supernatural origin." Although adding that, quote, "The Holy Father can authorize a special procedure in this regard under circumstances where such authorization may deem to be necessary." Quote, "It happens that some bishops are very involved, even passionate about the phenomenon, and they want to declare that it is supernatural and that it comes from God, that everyone wants to and must believe," said Cardinal Fernandez, who is the prefect of the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith. Okay, so what they're saying is like they don't want them to be too overzealous at declaring something supernatural, and yet they don't, you know, they want people to be discerning. Let me just finish this. He continues. "Others, on the other hand, get angry and want to declare that it does not come from God at all," Fernandez added, saying that declarations of the supernaturality. I changed my phone from the Raven call, the squawk that you usually hear during the show, to that dee 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 dee. And once again, I tried to mute it and was unsuccessful. So sorry about the interruption. Here's something different than a raven squawking. Okay. Fernandez advised that a declaration of, this is a Latin word that's pronounced nil obstat. Nil obstat. No, I just lost my place. Where am I at? Okay. Nil obstat allows a bishop to grasp all that can be positive and to use good experience for the good of his faithful, meaning they determine whether or not it's a positive or negative phenomenon. But the new processes, while eliminating the church's role in making definitive supernatural declarations, outline six potential outcomes. These include the noncommittal nihil obstat, although in some instances a public statement may also be issued against adherence to various alleged phenomena. They never go into whatever these six things are. So I'm really curious about that. Additionally, the faithful are not obliged to accept certain events as supernatural. So you're free to reject something they call supernatural. You are free to object to that or reject that, and you are not going to get in any trouble, which is a real switch from the Catholic Church. Anyway, granting them more freedom to choose, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So, but any supernatural events like those at Fatima that have previously been deemed supernatural are unaffected by this newly updated guideline. So anything previous to last Friday that was deemed miracle or deemed supernatural or an actual apparition of Mary is cannot be affected by these new rules or guidelines that they have put in effect. So basically, you are free to accept or reject anything from here on out at your discretion. They talk about how, because of the technology and how easy it is to manipulate things, they cautioned those out there that are fond of making fakeries to be reminded that that is a they are punishable under canonical law. Now, how that works with your government, because we're talking about Italy, I don't see how Italy would have any jurisdiction if you are a non-Catholic American citizen and you create a fake paranormal video. I don't see how they can, by any kind of law, touch you, really. But maybe they'd just like to put that threat out there. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know how that can work, especially if somebody is not Catholic. I don't know. Just a head scratcher. If you know, hit me up in the chat. Tell me what to tell us about it. The legitimacy of apparitions over time have caused some confusion among the faithful, and they want to try to eliminate that. And I heard from another source that they have deemed, I think it was 300, they initiated 300 lay people, meaning non-priest people, in the art of exorcism, because they are inundated with so many calls of possessed people or people being possessed. Can you imagine? I mean, think about that for a minute. That's really kind of creepy. So either there's a lot of uptick in demonic activity, or people are really losing their minds. Or maybe it's a combination of both. Who's to say, right? But the exorcists are so overworked. There's just not enough of them to go around. So they educated and got 300 laymen, no women, but laymen to perform exorcisms now. So they also were cautioning about being, very discerning about videos and other media, and don't just believe everything you see. Of course, you've got half a wit, you already know that. And interestingly, here is a statistic about supernatural events, that there's actually fewer than 20 apparitions that have ever been approved by the Vatican in all of its history. So what's really going on here? What is really going on here? I'm interested to hear what you folks think. So hit me up in the chat and tell me what you think about this. There's more. This is just kind of the highlights that I took off of this article for the debrief. And I will put this article in the chat for you at the end of the show, which you can read for yourself. But I'm wondering why now? And is this something that is preemptive to something that's coming on down the pike here pretty soon, that then they can refer back to this and rely on this somehow to be, a guide light through stuff? I don't know. They just kind of, when you take away the percentage that are hoaxes, the percentage that are just crazy people, you're still left with an increase in paranormal phenomena. So is that because the veil's getting thinner? Is that because of the Schumann resonance going higher and people's consciousness raising and vibration raising? Don't know. Is it because CERN is blasting portals into other dimensions that it shouldn't be, and shit's coming through those portals and wreaking havoc upon the planet? That could be that too. I don't know. I'm interested to know what you guys think though. So hit me up in the chat and I'll move on here to the next story, and I'll come back to the chat in a few minutes. So the next story that I have for you that I thought was kind of interesting is an article that was written about the shadow government and UFO disclosure. Now, the whole UFO field, I have to say, from dipping my toe in these waters a few times, is convoluted at best. It is riddled with people from the government that are disinfo agents. One of them, a confessed disinfo agent, Doty, last name Doty, is actually on a show on Gaia TV, on the Cosmic Disclosure show. Even the whistleblower Luis Elizondo was a counterintelligence officer who was assigned the UFO community as a what they call a shill or a whistleblower, supposedly. But he was never a ufologist or not even interested in the whole UFO phenomenon. Admittedly, in his own words, he was a counterintelligence officer. That was his specialty. And what does a counterintelligence officer do? Well, they spread lies and they confuse the issue. So we know that the government has been trying to hide this sort of stuff. I mean, there's the evidence mounted up for that is really overwhelming. And it's a sad thing. It all pretty much boils down to, just greed and control, really. Because once this gets out as common knowledge, if they were to come right out and say, okay, they've leaked little things here and there, and they've kind of played around and flirted with it somewhat, And one minute the Pentagon will say, oh, yeah, you had the TikTok video and all that shit that came out back then in 2017 and the front page of the New York Times, blah, blah, blah. And then they retract it a couple months later. And not to mention all the missing money from the Pentagon. This went into these black projects that are studying and back engineering these craft that have crashed that they say never existed, so on and so forth. It's a shame, but I don't think we're ever going to get the government finally saying, okay, here it is. Here's all the stuff. They've released documents and so forth. And there was a big data dump also that happened last week that Stephen Greer has on his website. He's created a special website. But you see all the important stuff, the good stuff that you really, the really detailed stuff. Most of that stuff's all blacked out. That's how it's always been. They build up this big thing. Oh, we've got disclosure. We've got all this stuff we're going to give you guys. We're going to come clean with the public. Yeah, right. Half, two-thirds of the page is blacked out, So it's like, what the hell is this? It's just, they have cried wolf so many times. I just don't even believe them anymore. The fact of the matter is they have all these, what the government has done with this back engineering stuff is they have people like Lockheed Martin, and they have Bob Bigelow's company. What's it called? I just lost it. Bigelow Industries, I think, or something like that. They farm out parts of this stuff to be back engineered. And the reason why they do that is so that they don't have to disclose to the public where our tax dollars are going. So by putting it with private industry like that, with these companies, they don't have to disclose what they're working on. They don't have to disclose anything. And that's how you come up with all these black projects and all this stuff going on. And they compartmentalize stuff enough so that the engineers that are actually working on this stuff really don't know what they're working on. They're working on just a piece of something. Very few actually know the big picture. Okay, that's how they get away with that. There was a whistleblower by the name of Bob Lazar that I think is completely credible. And they tried to scratch his whole existence out and scrub him from his credentials, from where he went. He was a MIT, brilliant, brilliant engineer from MIT. They went in and scrubbed his records as if he had never been there. They really tried to ruin this man. He worked at Area 51. And after he was brought in on a special project, and when that was done and over with, he told some people about what they were doing out there. And they went, and it's like way out in the middle of the desert in Nevada. They went up in the hills, and he said, at 7 o'clock or whatever time it was, 9 o'clock, they're going to fire up those runway lights, and you'll be able to see some stuff. It's out of this world. And he got caught, and then, and his life became a living hell from that point on. And they sent out people to discredit him, to scrub his records, to try to say that he was a nobody and a liar and so forth. And he never went to MIT, for example. And then he wasn't a brilliant engineer and tried to erase all of his credentials. And this was terrible. It's just made his life a living hell. And he was recently interviewed on Joe Rogan in this last 6 months, I think it was. Very interesting interview if you want to know more about Bob Lazar. But I think he's absolutely telling the truth. He talked about an element that is not on the periodic table yet. It's big, top secret. And that's what he really got into a lot of trouble for with the government, was talking about this element number or something rather. I don't remember what the number was, but it's a key thing in the anti-gravity thing, I think. Something to do with that high-end technology. But the whole thing is, if they come out with this stuff, that is going to totally destroy the petroleum industry. You know, there's a lot of people that make a lot of money, you know, the gas and the oil and all of that. I mean, those things will be rendered obsolete with zero point energy, which is clean energy. And it's free, could be free energy too. Get rid of all these, you know, it pisses me off at these extension cords. I'm forever tripping on all these extension cords. We could have free wireless energy just like we got Wi-Fi. They know how to do it. But they're not letting that out, because then you'd never pay a power bill ever again. Think how much money you spend in the summertime on air conditioning, right? Yeah. Take that times, you know, however many thousands of customers there are, the power. That's a lot of moolah we're talking about. So that's one small example of why they don't want this disclosed. Okay. It's all about money. It's all about greed. And it's all about power. So disclosure is coming from each individual. It's more of a grassroots type thing. You're not going to get, there's a whole table, MJ-12. Look up MJ-12. That was organized under Truman, I believe, if my memory is right. And they were to keep the lid on this whole thing after the big UFO crash in Roswell, why they were assembled. And they hired their disinfo agents, and it's been that way ever since. There was a pamphlet that I had in that computer. What was it called? It was an actual government pamphlet that was how to discredit someone that has seen a UFO. And this came out about the time that Project Blue Book was popular. And Nancy, that used to do the show with me, started the show with me, had gotten a hold of this from somebody. And I got to find that and get that out. It's like, if the witness says this, then you say that, you know. And it was different ways to mock, to ridicule, and to discredit anybody trying to report a UFO. I'm like, okay, so if they're not real, then why would the government print this booklet? Right? I'm going to head over here to the chat and see what you all are saying here. What we got? Oh, that's a beautiful gift there, Cindy, of Blessed Virgin Mary. Beautiful. Okay, Rachel says, possibly more people are becoming more open, or a little bit of all you mentioned. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because more people are reporting psychic abilities as well. And that's a good point you bring up. Okay, let me see here. I'm going to go to all comments. This is just going to be top comments. I'm going to go to all comments here. Click on that. So far, so good. So far, so good with Facebook tonight. Yay. Okay. All right, here we go. Pamela says, Terry Campbell is my favorite Gemini. Indeed. I'll drink to that. Okay. And we'll get down here past where I was before. And Tara, welcome. How are you doing? Welcome to the show. Good to see you here tonight. All right. And Pamela, there you are. People want flying cars. Can you imagine? Yeah. I just wonder how the insurance is going to be working with flying cars. Oh, the mess that could be, huh? We are in the age of the Jetsons, though, right? Yep, there we go, the Jetsons. That's funny. That is hilarious. And then she's talking to Cindy here and says, and what happens when they stall out? You can't pull over and don't look up. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's a good point. Let's see here. She says, Pamela and Rachel. Okay, I'm trying to figure out who said what here. Let's hope when the time comes, there's good mechanics. Yeah, indeed. Oh my gosh. Yeah, oh, Cindy's talking about the rock that I have. Yeah, she's seen it. I showed her a couple pictures of it. Yeah, she thinks I ought to have it checked out and maybe cash in on it. That would be nice. I could use a chunk of change right now. Cindy says, I have never seen Mary, although she gives me comfort, but she has seen Jesus twice. Cool. I would like to hear about that. So tell me if you would be open to doing that, to come on the radio and talk about your experiences, because I'm sure I'm not the only one that would love to hear about that. So hit me up in the chat and let me know. And let's see here. Pamela says maybe a lot of people have been reaching out to the Vatican for guidance, for guidelines. Yeah, that's possible. That's definitely possible. And good evening, Terry Paul. How are you this evening? Good to see you here. Hello, hello. Thank you for the full moon blessing. Yeah, that could be. I find it ironic because at one point in history, the church had had the monopoly on the paranormal. And in fact, there was a lot of shifty, shady stuff that was going on around the time of Henry VIII, which would have been the 1500s. There were a lot of churches that were surviving on pilgrimage, donations from pilgrims. And they would advertise that they had a statue that leaked blood or water. They had bones of saints that you could see under glass, you know, and that miracles were reported, unsubstantiated, of course. But the pilgrimage was big business there for a while. I mean, the Knights Templar made a killing off that, being the bank for those that were going to take a pilgrimage all the way to Jerusalem and so forth. Yeah, they were always claiming to have, you know, some kind of a miraculous artifact or a weeping statue of something, you know, and most of that proved out to be fakery, which is one of the reasons why Henry VIII was mad at the Pope, besides the fact that the Pope wouldn't grant him a divorce from his first wife so that he could marry Anne Boleyn. But it was also this fakery that was going on. And yeah, he went in and he allowed people to kind of destroy. Now, I'm not in favor of desecrating any holy places, mind you. But a lot of that stuff then went missing because he was fed up with the fakery. So here's the church talking about fakery in these modern times. So they would know a thing or two about that now, wouldn't they? Based on historical fact. There are many strange things out there, and our world is actually, you know, stranger. It's stranger than fiction. It truly is. But there are, I do believe in miracles, absolutely. And I think that I have been the recipient of a few miracles over my lifetime. So I guess that, you know, sometimes that the temptation to take advantage of people who will believe, who are very gullible, you know, we see evidence of that all through history. And so I think probably every organization's been guilty of that at one time or another. I'm not going to pick on the Catholics. I don't want to make anybody mad, but I am running a little low on time, and I want to talk about something. I want to talk about climate change here. So I'm going to kind of move away here from the, I'll put the link in the chat to this article about the shadow government and UFO disclosure that you can read if you're interested in it. And I did notice one thing in that article that is not exactly accurate that I'll point out right now and say that they are citing the Roswell crash as the first big UFO event. And it wasn't Roswell. It was actually Mount Rainier. When one of our war pilots, and I'm trying to think of his name, saw these craft and reported it. And that's how the whole term flying saucer came into pop culture, because that's how he described them as. That actually is the first evidence of the whole flying saucer craze. And Roswell came after that, Mount Rainier sighting. But anyway, That's just kind of petty, but still trying to keep things as accurate and factual as possible here on this show. Even though some things are just too strange for either. So I watched something on Greg Braden. I've talked about him before on this show. Has a wonderful video all about this whole climate change. If you're confused by some of this climate change stuff, join the crowd. It's actually pretty much a farce. The climate change that they are trying to sell everybody on, and these carbon footprints and carbon credits and all, it's a bunch of hooey. How do we know this? We know this from ice core samples. Our weather is mostly governed by the sun and the cycles of the sun. The sun, as far as we have identified, has cycles in 11-year patterns. When we go to these ice core samples, we can go back. They take them from two places in Antarctica. And where did I put my notes here? And tell you where that is. And these two places are 300 miles apart. Yeah, here's my notes on that. Okay. All right. I can't read my writing here. Hold on. Where is it? Okay. Hold on again. Here we go. Ithaca, Antarctica, and Vostok, Antarctica. These are where they get the samples. It used to be Greenland, but they found a deeper cores of ice can be found there in Antarctica. So anyway, they can go back 450,000 years and tell you how much CO2 is in the air. 450,000 years. They mark humans coming in at 200,000 years. And when you compare these two from 450,000 years to 200,000 years, and you measure the carbon in the air and go through the little chart thingies, there's no change. No change. Bring it up to modern day ice. Little bit of change, but not much. It's not our SUVs. It's not our, it's not, we, there's not enough of us to make that much of an impact. And CO2 is not the enemy anyway. You need CO2. I mean, that's what the trees need to breathe. And they exhale oxygen, which is what we breathe, and we exhale CO2. All right. That's how that works. There's a nice symbiotic relationship going on there. Okay. The magnetic fields are also able to be determined by these ice core samples. You can even tell the volcanic activity. You can tell the temperature ranges for all these years. And it's unaffected. Totally. And this is all peer-reviewed science from Nature magazine. These climate changes are rise and fall, rise and fall. And there's always a big rise right before there's a big fall. There's a big drop off. And that's where we're at right now. We're at that big rise. So if anything, very soon we're going to have really, really cold temperatures. And that's going to be dangerous because of the way that they're handling farming right now, because we could see food shortages. There's going, you know, the resources, there could be a scarcity thing there. That's really what you need to worry about if you want to worry about something. But this global warming is the it's a money-making thing. These people that are in power are just the greediest bastards you could ever imagine. And it's just a big cash cow for them. They scare you, and then they try to sell especially the young people on, oh God, we've got to save the planet. The planet is fine. She's been fine for 450,000, for more than 450,000 years, with or without us, she's fine. Okay? Don't fall for it, guys. I'm going to put the video with all of this science and cold hard scientific fact in the chat for you to check it out. So don't be fooled into all this stuff they try to sell you. And it makes me mad when they present things it, to det okay, here's one main point. To determine these patterns in nature, you have to go back further than just 10 years. And what they do is they take some statistics from 10 years ago and they cherry pick out little things and then they exaggerate that and blow it up and sell that to the public. Well, yeah, then it makes it look like, yeah, oh my God, we're killing the planet. Oh my God, we're killing Mother Earth. I got to get rid of my SUV. I got to get solar panels. I got to get this and that. No, 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 no. Please do yourself a favor and educate yourself with this video. Greg Braden is a scientist. He's a geologist, credited, and he knows his stuff. And this is all peer-reviewed science. It doesn't get any purer than that. So I'll post that link for you, and please do yourself a favor and watch that. And then educate your friends and family also, and don't fall for this money-making scheme that they've got going. Okay. Well, I have talked right now to the end of the show. Check back with the chat real quick and see if there's anything else that I might have missed real quick. And Alien Girl will be here on June 12th. So don't miss that. I'll be back next week with another live show. And not sure what that's going to be yet. So I thank you all for being here tonight, though. I'd love it if you stay up late and hang out with me here in the chat. I really appreciate you so much. Remember that you're stardust and to shine your light. The world is going to get crazier. It's going to get a lot crazier. So just keep your tinfoil helmets on and you'll be fine. Okay? You've been listening to Raven's Rabbit Hole on 12radio.com, where we're changing the way you listen to a changing world. I love you much. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere because Jay and Alan are coming up next. Okay. Good night, everybody. Love you.